This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Pagan, Ampake Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Solo, a Star Wars story, opens in cinemas next Thursday, the 24th of May, with sneak peeks on Wednesday night, that's the 23rd. The movie is directed by Ron Howard, who takes over from Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. It stars Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo, Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, Emilia Clarke as Kira, also featuring Woody Harrelson, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Thandie Newton, and Jon Favreau. The movie was, I guess, widely considered by many to be a troubled production, and I think it's worth starting off this review by saying this movie doesn't feel like a troubled production.
No.
I think Ron Howard managed to nail it. He pulled something out of the bag. I mean, the movie isn't without its problems, and before we get into, I guess, gushing about what we liked about it, I wanted to point out, for me, one of the biggest criticisms I have of the film.
Not enough Clint Howard?
Not enough Clint Howard. But that's true of any Ron Howard production. There's just too little Clint Howard, right?
The fact that he turns up in a section that feels completely organic and not tacked on is part of why it feels like a piece, right?
Yeah, it's a perfect cameo. But for me, the biggest criticism of this movie, the first 15 minutes felt a little heavy on exposition, right? And there was a lot of stuff in the first 15 minutes that had me rolling my eyes. Stuff like, I didn't really need to see the first time Han Solo goes, watch this, and then things go horribly wrong. There is a little bit about the origin of his name that had me rolling my eyes.
I think that's going to be the true test. That's the acid test, whether you like that or not. I was kind of like, I did a half roll.
But after that bit,
a half roll,
when there's a little subtitle that goes 3 years later, after that, it just goes into a rootin' tootin' little heist film, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then I'm all in. And then I'm completely invested.
Yeah.
But for me, it was those first 10 minutes that were a bit of a slog.
No, I didn't find that at all. Because all the issues we had or heard about Alden Ehrenreich's performance in this, like there was talk about acting classes being on set, and dialogue coaches, and all sorts of problems. Again, maybe it's just Lord and Miller's mates just like throwing out bad news about the production after they left. As far as he pops up on screen, I mean, I don't know whether they're using Disney's patented make you look younger tech at the beginning. They do look a little younger at the beginning.
A little bit.
I mean, they do look a bit more kiddish, but like, I'm like, no, that's Han Solo.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that at all?
I didn't see that at all. Like, for me, my problem with it was I kept thinking, this doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie in some way. So, but once I accepted that, once I accepted that fact and just like, okay, it's just a movie in the Star Wars universe, then I started going,
huh? What's the difference?
No, but it's not, it doesn't feel like the scope or the grandeur or the other Star Wars films to me.
But you're right, there is very little grandeur in this movie. It is a very intimate story.
Very grounded, it's
bromance between Chewie and Han. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does tick off all the boxes from the Holocron or Wikipedia or whatever else you've been reading. Wikipedia's a real thing.
Yeah.
Whatever else you've been reading about the Han Solo backstory that's changed and warped over the years. You know, he was in the Imperial Navy.
He's
how he met Chewie. How the Millennium Falcon comes into his possession, gets covered, but in a nice way that doesn't quite expect how you expect
too
it to
obvious,
be.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to say for the fanboys who've read all of this stuff. The screenwriters, Lawrence Kasdan and Jonathan Kasdan, they subvert all of those stories. So the way he gets his Millennium Falcon, for example, is subverted. It doesn't play out, at least initially, the way you think it's going to.
Yeah,
right?
They set up something that you think is going to be it, and it's not.
Yeah.
That's nice. But
they do it a couple of times, actually, and I thought that was nice because it wasn't... Because I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I've read the comic book. And then I'm like, oh, no, wait, it didn't happen that way. And that was quite nice. So there were still some surprises if you were a hardcore fanboy too.
Yeah.
But I agree with Bahe when he says that it didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. It's just that I don't have a problem with that. I want more of these movies to not feel like Star Wars movies.
And you're right. But it's just to me, going into it, like, it's Solo, right? I'm Han Solo movie. And to sort of double up on what you're talking about, Uma, about fanboys who know all these stories. I don't know these stories. I just know he won the Millennium Falcon.
In a card game.
In a card game. I didn't know the name of the card game, you know. And to me, that was... It sort of fell in between being a true Han Solo prequel movie and just being a movie about a character named Han.
Yeah,
just,
I mean...
I don't know. I think
what you're trying to say is, like, it's just a story set against the Star Wars universe. Yeah, in which case it could be like, you know...
fill up for me.
Like a Postman on Corellia could be an interesting... Like, yeah, a romantic comedy about a Postman on Corellia could also work, but it wouldn't have the Star Wars grandeur.
Yes, yeah.
I think the elephant in the room, a huge problem with our press screening of it was that it was in 3D.
God,
Watch it in 3D.
I don't like it when we say don't go watch a movie, but I do... Because it's everyone, different strokes for different folks. Some people love movies that other people hate. But 3D on this is the worst idea. It's a movie that's set in the criminal underworld, so it's quite dark thematically and visually.
Yeah.
And there's points where I'm thinking, this probably looks like a fantastic room full of creatures playing cards.
And I can't see anything.
I can see Lando. I mean, I've pretty good eyesight.
Yeah.
I can see Lando. I can see all the characters, but I can't see any detail.
Yeah. No.
The big third act action sequence is just like... I don't know. Mm. It didn't whelm me. Even when they kicked in the John Williams Asteroid Fields theme from Empire.
Which was amazing, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. As soon as I stepped out of the cinema, that was the first thing I told the Disney folks. I was you need to tell them to up the lumens up on the projector if possible, because it was so dark. I was straining my
eyes.
And
even during the scenes when they're... And they're in the Millennium Falcon in space, and it's dark. We've seen this in the trailer, and there's like what looks like lightning, and you think like this is gonna wow me. We're watching it in IMAX, right? But because it was so dull, the lightning just doesn't stand out, doesn't grab you or anything, and it was really disappointing.
No, we would highly recommend you watch this movie in 2D, in the biggest screen you can find. Usually, what happens is they have IMAX 3D screenings, and then they kind of wait a week and then release the 2D screening. So if you can wait a week, go check it out in IMAX anyway, because on the big screen it is incredibly impressive, because the detail of the worlds that are being built, you know, whether it's Corellia or this new desert planet and all of this stuff, it's magnificent. All of that stuff's really, really cool.
We haven't
spoken about the other big thing in this film, Donald Glover. He absolutely nails it. He's incredible.
He's great.
I mean, he's exactly as good as you'd expect Donald Glover to be. I mean, I'm beginning to hate him. He's so talented.
And there are some great line deliveries that just channel Lando.
Yeah.
When he says baby.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
The hand movements between him and L3, we should also shout out to L3.
Yeah.
An interesting thing to do in these movies, and it's something that I think Lucasfilm tried to do this before with some of the video games and spin-off cartoons and stuff, they're finding new ways to do the droids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, this is L3 as a droid unlike any other droid we've seen before, and as a character and as a design, and it works incredibly well.
Mm. And I think like you were saying with regards to L3, it feels like it was cobbled together.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a polished machine being done, you know, top notch, top of the line kind of situation.
But it's a completely different character.
It's a different
from
character.
Anthony Daniels, C-3PO or K2SO, and it's a really interesting take, and it's fun. That's a lot of fun. This is going to be the Snyder curse on this movie, is that people are going to say, well, the fun bit's Lord and Miller,
right? Yeah,
and you wonder about that. But again, it's the script is all the Kasdan, so I don't know.
From what I heard, apparently Ron Howard didn't change the shooting script, and he shot exactly what the Kasdans wrote. So
it was just all the riffing that was taking the time.
Correct, exactly. Apparently the criticism against Lord and Miller was that they were taking many, many takes, and their shooting style was very different from what Kathleen Kennedy is used to. You know, it is everything you've wanted to know about Han Solo but were afraid to ask. And the movie does channel very, very similar beats to Westerns and even Indiana Jones, actually. I mean, the whole heist bits feel... It's just so reminiscent of an Indiana Jones movie, right?
And Firefly.
That's what it was.
Which I've always referred to as the continuing adventures of Han Solo and pals anyway. But like, it's like they're just repaying the favor. It's like, there's a train job.
Yeah.
There's a psychopathic crime lord.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot more references, but I don't want to spoil the movie.
But also what's crazy is if we didn't already know, I mean, watching this film, right? If we didn't already know how Han dies in The Force Awakens.
Han dies?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Watching this movie, it seems like the natural end would be for him and Chewie to go out like Butch and Sundance. You know, I kept having that mood every time.
Yeah, there's weird moments where, like, from one of the trailers, someone pointed out online the fact that, like, Chewie's hanging off the train about to hit a rock. Yeah. It's like, we know that rock doesn't hit him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless, like, Han picks up another
Wookiee along the way.
Also important to note that 90% of the stuff you see in the trailers is like within the first act.
Yes, yeah. I was very thankful for that.
So much new stuff. Mm.
Another thing that's my new favorite thing is we finally get to see a human speak Wookiee.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't like that.
You
I like
didn't?
That because
like
it's that. Always this. It's always this one way thing. And it was just for someone to try it. And I was like, I speak a little. I thought that was very funny.
I like that he says I speak a little and not like I'm fluent. I can sing the songs of your people.
He can speak it, but he can understand it. It kind of addresses that.
And kinda, yeah.
That leads into another weird point is that this movie could have been almost ridiculously standalone.
Yes.
Right. Like it didn't have to tie into anything. Mm. But then the things it chose to tie into
are super deep cuts.
Are so deep. It's bizarre. Like Bosk gets mentioned by name. Shout out to my boy Bosk, you know.
He's a bounty hunter in Empire.
And Aura Singh gets name checked. The PlayStation video game Masters of Terrascazi.
The crappy PlayStation video game.
I think one of the worst Star Wars games of all time gets referenced in this. It's like, why would you even do that?
We can tell from this movie what Lawrence and Jonathan Kasdan are fans of.
Yeah,
right? Terrible PlayStation fighting games.
Yeah. I mean, my other criticism for this would be that I felt like I didn't need to see all of the mythology of Han Solo
play out on screen.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have liked. I go back and forth about whether or not I would have liked to have seen the Kessel Run, and it's just the kind of thing where I wish they had kept some of the myth as myth, whether or not it happened or, you know.
But that being said, the Kessel Run was absolutely delightful.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't see it. But they did address the 12 parsecs things because parsecs has always been, he said it did in parsecs, but that's not a unit of time. It's a unit of space.
Yeah.
So they kind of addressed that and have their cake and eat it, which I thought was kind of funny.
They made a little joke about it.
It's okay.
And it gives the impression that it feeds into like a year or two before A New Hope, but I think
what is the timeline for this one? Do we know?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think there's someone near the end who looks like a guy who was hanging out with Saw Gerrera. Well, that was Rogue One was well before this, was it?
No. This is well before Rogue One because Rogue One is immediately before.
Right? So this, it gives that impression. But there's a thing that happens at the end that implies they're going somewhere that would make it seem very soon. But maybe that's like the 16th job they do for that guy. I don't know. Did anyone else get the feeling that they kind of left it open for sequels as well?
So Alden Ehrenreich has come out and said, I think he actually misspoke. Maybe he wasn't supposed to let this out, but he said he signed on for 3 movies.
Oh!
He said he has a 3-movie contract in one of these interviews.
So it's not a solo deal. It's a solo deal.
Hey.
Heyo.
I like how Ian just keeps these in his pocket.
He's got,
So he's apparently signed on for a 3-movie deal.
Yeah.
So I guess if this does well, if it makes bank, which I think it will, because apparently the pre-ticket sales are through the roof. The pre-ticket sales for Solo apparently outnumber Black Panther, which is quite interesting.
Oh.
We forgot to mention, Emilia Clarke actually tries her hand at acting, and it works.
She's grand, yeah.
I thought she's all right.
She's not playing Mother of Dragons, so that's fine. Yeah. Like, I buy her as not having some dragon eggs.
A little bit of a story for you there. Yuna auditioned for the role.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So Yuna was at the premiere of Solo, and in her Instagram posting, she said that she sent in a tape, and she said they turned me down very, very politely.
Oh.
And she said, I thought I was auditioning for the role of a sidekick. I had no idea I was auditioning for the role of Emilia Clarke.
Never mind.
Never mind.
But yeah, so that's
not the role of Kira,
cool.
The role of Emilia Clarke.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really cool, I thought.
I think Paul Bettany does a good job as well, just being English and terrifying.
Yes.
In space.
And there's this great little thing that Paul Bettany does every time he meets his bounty hunters or mercenaries. He just walks up to them and touches their face and just goes, are you okay?
Yeah, he's like, he's your best friend who might also stab you in the ribs. Like, on a moment's notice.
Okay for you, but not really.
It's so good. I love that bit.
Yeah. And he does it a lot. And it's just, he's a great, and he's also incredibly tall around the rest of the actors.
Yeah.
Woody
yeah.
Harrelson is also just fantastic in this role because he is this untrustworthy criminal. But what's great about it is because it's Woody Harrelson, you never know whether he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Mm, yeah.
And that plays so well in this film.
And he's not even chewing tobacco, so you can't even tell. Because he's generally chewing tobacco, he's a bad guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, but...
The Paul Bettany thing about it being tall,
yeah.
Just the fact that he's towering over Woody Harrelson, and Woody yes. Harrelson kind of towers over Han Solo.
Yes.
You kind of get this, that really emphasizes the
it's
threat.
It's like an image thing. Yeah,
because here's the badass with the spinny guns thing.
Yeah.
But the moment Paul Bettany turns up, he's like, hello, sir.
That's a bigger badass.
Yes.
Yeah. No, on the whole, I had a great time in the cinema. Mm. I just love the fact that they really double down on the heist movie thing.
Yeah.
From the point that starts going, from the point they team up with Woody Harrelson and take on that job, it is relentless. It is nonstop. They pause for a couple of minutes to have a chat with Paul Bettany, but then they're back on it again.
Yeah.
And the action sequences don't necessarily stop. So there isn't much of a lull in this movie. And I think that's what's going to keep a lot of people going, even if you're not a hardcore Star Wars fan. I mean, we pick up on this Terascasi stuff and you know, games of Sabacc. And
there's a bit near the end that popped up and I was like, wait, what?
And jokes about how do you pronounce Han.
Yes.
And which all of that stuff.
I really like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a third act reveal that's kind of like, wait, where? How does this happen? What does work? I mean, that kind of bent me a little bit.
No, the
like,
third act reveal.
This really didn't need to be here at all.
No, the third act reveal, the third act twist, it is such a deep cut. That is complete and utter fan service.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think the action, the adventure, and as soon as I stepped out of the cinema, the first thing I told Bahe was, I was like, all of these guys have great chemistry together.
Yeah.
So that's going to keep you going. It's a great ride.
Yeah, I mean, just Rio alone.
Yes.
Just the character there, it just walks
voiced
onto the
screen. John Favreau. John Favreau
walks on the screen fully formed.
Yeah.
And like, it didn't sound like John Favreau
to
me. But it's just like, that's the kind of Star Wars thing. It's a fully formed universe. It just walks out there and just like, ah, that's a Star Wars thing.
Previously unheard of, right?
Yeah.
You don't know this guy.
And I like how nobody goes, it doesn't do that thing. Oh, I've never seen this alien before. It's just like, you know, Han Solo picks him off right off the bat. This is from this one.
Yeah.
It's great. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But his character as well was just like, cool. I mean, I guess you could. There's probably some article to be written about Han taking parts of his personality from all these different people. Because like, he's kind of cool.
That's kind of.
But the Rio thing, it's just one of those characters that really stuck with me. I liked him every moment he was on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's also the thing to point out, right? I mean, the Han Solo we see in this film is an idealistic, romantic. He's not been jaded yet from the world, right? He's not the scoundrel we've come to know and love. He's on the path to becoming that scoundrel, getting broken by different things along the way.
Yeah, it's a story of a man and the family he builds around him and how he tries to be the good guy but ends up being a rogue. It's Arrested Development, Solo style.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Go check out this movie. We know you will. I mean, it is a Star Wars movie after all. So Solo, A Star Wars Story opens officially next Thursday, but there are sneak peeks on Wednesday night, so you can actually book tickets because they've already put tickets up on sale.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you can go check it out. Once again, you know, IMAX 3D, just unless they fix that brightness thing, don't bother.
Yeah.
But wait until it's showing in 2D because the big screen experience is still a fun one. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.